isn't it? 2017. I hope that you had a blessed Christmas with your family and with your friends. Our candlelight service on the 23rd was a great way to end 2016, and here we are, you know, in 2017. It's always hard to write that down, right? So I have to get used to writing 2017, saying 2017. But I want to encourage you to continue our Christmas theme of coming home into the new year. Whether it's something that you're celebrating or whether you're experiencing a struggle or a hard season in your life, you can still find peace and rest in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Amen? And there's a saying that musicians have called playing in the pocket. And what it means is that musicians stay within the groove or within the beat of a song, that they don't venture outside of the groove or the beat of the song. They stay right in the pocket of a song. And this is what we need to do as Christians, is to stay in the pocket of God's grace, to stay in the pocket of His love, to stay in the pocket of His presence, to stay right in His presence and not veer off to the left, not get off beat, so to speak, but stay in the pocket. So I just encourage you to continue that theme of that you want to continue to come home to the home of the Father, just to come home and be at rest, be at peace, and find that your soul can be well as you do that. Amen? Yeah, so why don't we pray, and we're going to look at some scriptures, one particular scripture, as we look into 2017. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we can truly say that you're a God who keeps your promises and that you have been with each one of us in the best moments of our lives and the lowest moments of our lives. And you have guided us and you have navigated us through some difficult and some challenging situations. We hope we've heard your voice more than we've heard our own voice or the voice of others telling us how to feel, telling us what to do. We hope that we've heard your voice, that has superseded all the other noise that comes into our lives. We're clinging to your hope for this next year, that your presence would continue to be with us, that you will work in us in the months ahead. So keep guiding us, keep directing us, Lord, keep instructing us, keep warning us if need be, but most of all, keep changing our hearts, Lord. We need change. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, beginning today, and I'm sure into the next week, many of us are going to be thinking about some New Year's goals for the coming year. We'll be thinking about some new habits that will improve our outlook on life. How many could stand to have a new outlook on life? I'll raise my hand. Yeah. Improve our health, allow us to be more productive, all kinds of goals. We have all these things in our heads that we'd like to see take place. Of course, there's the proverbial weight loss goals. We know all of those, right? And the attitude goals. We have some attitudes that we'd like to change in our lives. You have some? Anybody have a? You have an attitude? Yeah. Uh-huh. So, and all of those things are good. All those resolutions are good. They're good things to set as we enter the year. But for each of us as Christians, for those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus, the overarching resolution should be to experience spiritual change and growth in our lives. That should be the foremost resolution in our life, that we would experience change, that we would experience transformation. How many of you would like to experience some new, fresh, spiritual changes in your life in 2017? Yeah. I'd say everybody says yes and amen to that. Did you know that the Bible is really explicit about spiritual growth being the will of God for the Christian? A Christian's life should be a life of perpetual change. Our character, our conversations, our daily behavior should constantly be conforming to the image of Jesus, to the character of Jesus Christ. And part of what it means to seek the kingdom of God is having ongoing moments where the Holy Spirit breaks into our lives and brings healing, and he brings change in us. The Bible leaves no room for the Christian who says, you know, that's just the way I am. I'm just an angry person. That's just who I am. Or I've always been full of worry and I struggle with faith. That's just the person that I am. I can't change. The Bible leaves no room for the Christian who says those kinds of things. Peter says to us, the apostle, in 1 Peter 2, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind, and like newborn babies, we have one? Yeah? Crave, should bring him up here. Yeah. Crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. How many remember that scripture? Recognize that scripture. There's a call on the life of a Christian to grow up. To grow up. So I'm just going to tell you, just grow up. All right? Peter says to us, the reason there are so many immature, childish, selfish believers is they don't have a steady diet of what can make them grow. Peter calls it spiritual milk. And we know he's referencing the Word of God. He's referencing the Bible. I like what Eugene Peterson's, his translation of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says this, it says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion. How many enjoy that? Correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. And reading the Bible and prayerful reflection of the Scriptures is one of the ways that we grow up spiritually. That's why we always give to you at the beginning of the year, read the Bible through in a year, because the Word of God is life. The Word of God is nourishment. The Word of God feeds us. The Word of God does so many different kinds of things. There are so many different roles that the Word of God plays in our lives to bring us into a place of Christian maturity. And it's the most basic way to experience change and breakthrough. And yet so few Christians actually open their Bibles and read it on a daily basis. But it's the most basic way we change as a Christian. And you know, there's something else I think that we need to be reminded of, and we'll get to what we really want to talk about in a second. But the Bible makes no room for the Christian who says, I just want to come to church to get my needs met. I'm not interested in volunteering or serving or helping. I'm only interested in my relationship with God. And the Bible leaves really no room for that kind of thinking. Romans chapter 12 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves, the Bible says. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And so the scripture is clear that when you and I come to Jesus, how many come, right? When we become a Christian, we're also placed, we know this, right, in his church. And within the church, we're to serve one another and join together in serving and sharing the good news of the gospel in our community. And so part of our journey with Jesus is discovering the gifts that we have, the talents that we have, the abilities that God has given us, and using those in the church to bless and encourage other people. Amen? So, what happens is this. When we think about change, we think about resolutions, we think about transformation, I think we can all agree that we can easily become complacent. Would anybody disagree with that? It's so easy to let other things replace our love for Jesus and our time given in serving his church. It's so easy to let other things replace that. And I want to suggest some steps in just a few minutes that can turn a resolution into a reality and bring about significant growth in our relationship with Christ and greater service to the church. But before I do that, I'm saying a lot, I'm massaging you. I'm building it up. Before I do, let me just say this. Real change takes more than just making a verbal resolution. Anybody can make a resolution. We all do. You probably already have. More than likely, you have set, or you are thinking about, or have set some, you have in mind at least, a set of health goals, relationship goals, emotional goals, spiritual goals for 2017. And you know what? Most of us are going to break those resolutions by late January, by early February. You'll have broken all of those resolutions. Some people say, actually, in 13 days, everybody breaks New Year's resolutions. In 13 days. 13 days. So, it's January 1st. 12 more days. All right? But saying something doesn't make it happen, right? Words alone are not powerful. We say things all the time, never following through with them, right? We commit to doing something and or being somewhere and never show up. We don't make good on our commitments all the time, all the time. And some are better, or maybe I should say worse, than others that at this. You know, there's an old we've perfected our excuses, haven't we? We're pretty good at our excuses. There's an old Yiddish proverb that says this: if you don't want to do something, one excuse is as good as another. It's true. If you don't really want to do something, one excuse is as good as another excuse. So go ahead, throw it out, you know. It doesn't really matter if you don't want to do it. And my point is this. We fool ourselves into believing that simply making a claim of changing is enough. We fool ourselves. So I want to share with you three steps. Here are three steps. Maybe there's probably more, but here's at least three steps to transforming our resolutions into reality and bringing about some lasting spiritual change. The focus is on spiritual changes, though, right? Well, every resolution, every goal for the Christian is spiritual. Let's just put it that way. If you want to do something about your health, you know, think about this. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and so that's a spiritual goal. If you want to get in shape, lose weight, eat better, blah, blah, blah. That's a spiritual goal. If you have some mental goals, you know, you want to be sharper mentally. You know, we're supposed to prepare our minds for action. the scripture says. It's a spiritual goal. So all goals are spiritual. But anyway, I want you to turn, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Isaiah 52. It's just a short passage of scripture. You'll probably see it up here maybe. Isaiah 52, beginning in verse 1, says this. I'll give you some time. Or just look up there. Awake, awake, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion, now a captive. Pretty powerful verses right there that the prophet is telling the people of God. And so I want to share these three steps. The first step is this. The first step to seeing spiritual change become a reality is we have to become aware of the trouble and the entanglements of sin that we're in. We need to wake up spiritually. We've got to wake up spiritually. We need to confess our spiritual grogginess, our apathy, our complacency. We need to snap out of it. How about we say that? Right? Spiritually. Snap out of it. You see, because if we're spiritually asleep, we can't be used by God. We can't be an asset to somebody else. We can't be a blessing to somebody else. We can't be of service to the church. If we're asleep, we miss opportunities to serve and encourage somebody else. Because if you're asleep, you don't know what's going on. You don't know, you're not even aware of your surroundings if you're asleep. And so the first step to real spiritual change is we got to recognize in what ways that our soul is in spiritual slumber. And we need to wake up. We got to shake some things off of us. We should have had a song, right? Shake, rattle, and roll or something. That would have been good. Yeah. But we got to shake some things off of us. You know, there's a disturbing account, and we will actually turn them and just summarize this for you. In Ezekiel chapter 8, weird book. Ezekiel's a weird dude. There's some weird stuff happening in Ezekiel. But he's a prophet, and he was in exile in Babylon. And God supernaturally shows Ezekiel what is happening in his hometown in Jerusalem in the temple. And the people of God were worshiping and sacrificing to a bunch of false gods in the temple. And similar to other times in Israel's history, they thought that God didn't see what was happening. It's funny how we do that, right? You know, we know we're engaged in something that really just offends the heart of God, and we act like he doesn't see it at all. And we keep right on going. But here they were. They were sacrificing to these false gods. And there were all these priests. All the priests were burning extra incense. And the whole temple was just full of smoke. Now, only one priest should have been in the temple, right? Offering those sacrifices and doing that. But all of the priests were in the temple, and it was just like a smoky bar, right? And it was so smoky, and they were burning all this extra incense, thinking that it was a good smoke screen and God wouldn't see what was going on. But not only did he see what was going on, later he would actually remove his presence entirely from the temple. Just take his presence completely away from his people. And they're out there on their own. Now, I share that to say this. You and I burn our own incense before the Lord. It's called denial. We deny the offensive things that are in our hearts, the sinfulness that's in our hearts, those things that exist, those attitudes in our hearts, those thoughts that we think and in our hearts. And we deny that those exist within us. And it keeps us from having a real genuine relationship with God. And we put on the church game face. You know that one? And we say that all the Christian niceties that everyone likes to hear, and we think we can hide from God, and we think that we can really hide from others the things that are going on in our lives. Let me just say this. Real change happens in your life and my life when we get completely honest before God about the condition of our own soul. When we wake up and paint an accurate picture of what's really going on the inside of our hearts. Wake up. So that's the first thing. That's the first step. You got to wake up. Snap out of it. And because it's easy to just get into this spiritual funk, to just to get into this apathy in our lives, and just we just cruise along spiritually and not really see any significant change in our lives. So that's the first thing. Wake up. Secondly, the prophet writes this. He says, shake off your dust. Sit and rise up and sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. And then he goes on to say, free yourself from the chains on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Free yourself. Now, I want to stop here. We absolutely believe in the vineyard that God is able to supernaturally break people free from sinful bondages and addictions. We absolutely believe that God can break in with his kingdom and heal somebody or deliver them from those kinds of things. We absolutely believe that. But for so many, I want to say this, there's this false idea that God is the one who does all the work when it comes to the life of the Christian. And I don't have to do a thing. But the truth is that there are so many places in the scriptures where we are commanded to do some things. We have to do some things. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, he says, you got to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Wow, greed is idolatry. Interesting. That's another sermon in itself. Then he tells us that he says we're to rid ourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from our lips. We are to rid ourselves from those things. And then he goes on to tell us that we are to take off the old self with all of its practices, and we are to put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. And then he goes on to say this is all in the same breath, Paul says. Then he goes on to say that we're to clothe ourselves, we are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We are to do it. We always say, God, give me patience. God, just infuse it, just inject it. Right, because I don't have any, and I don't really want to have any, you know, and just give me patience. Do it, God. Poof. I need it. Right? So people are elbowing each other. Right? And but he tells us that we are to do some things, the Bible says. You know what Isaiah 52 is? That we just read earlier, Isaiah 52 is the Old Testament version of Colossians 3. That's all it is. God instructs the people of God to free themselves from the chains around their necks, spiritual chains. Shake off your dust, rise up, free yourself from the chains around your necks. Shake it off. In a figurative sense, we are to do the same thing. We have to shake some things off of our lives. We are to do it. We are to do it. And if we really want change, if we really, really want to see a difference in our lives, we got to say, enough is enough. I'm breaking free from what's holding me captive. I'm breaking free from this thing that's limiting my relationship with Jesus and with the people of his church. I'm breaking free. Enough is enough. Just say it. Enough is enough. You got to believe it when you say it. I mean, enough's enough. Right? And, you know, some of us have just struggled with the same habitual thing over and over and over again. And we've repented and fallen and repented and fallen and repented and fallen back to the same destructive behavior and repented and fallen. And we're caught in this cycle of repenting and falling, repenting and falling, and repenting and falling. And we carry this heavy weight of guilt because of all of it. And the problem of all it all is this. We've never said enough is enough. Never. I'm shaking this thing off. I'm breaking free from the chains of sin that are weighing me down. So, let today be the day that many of you say, enough's enough. Because I want to say that the good news of Jesus is he always responds and he always gives grace and he always gives supernatural power to the person who says, I want to be free. Set me free, Lord. Make me clean. Deliver me from these chains. He always comes right at that moment to give you the grace to continue on and say enough's enough. And so we've got to wake ourselves up spiritually, but we have to do some things. We've got to free ourselves from some things. We've got to do some things. So far, so good. Now, earlier I said, words alone are not powerful. What is powerful is words plus actions. And this is the third step to lasting change. And it's in the form of a question. What's your plan? It's as simple as that. What's your action plan? You know, we've all heard the definition of insanity, right? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. Huh? And this is where most of us get tripped up. We want to see change in our lives. We want to grow spiritually. We say we want to read and understand the Bible better, or we want to make prayer a bigger part of our life, or we want to be a better spouse, or we want to control our anger, or we want to tithe our income. We've never gotten there. We want to tithe our income. And we say all those things, but we never develop a plan. We never develop a plan. We have to commit to doing some things differently if we want to see change. I think this is so important. We've got to cut some things out of our lives that are time wasters and invest that time toward things that are going to bring us change. So many of us have, and I myself included, we waste so much time. Wasting time. And so when we think about a plan, when you think about a plan, I know some of you just like to fly free, you know, be free, yeah. Some of you have plans on top of plans. You have plans to plan. You have plans to plan, and then you have a plan if you fail to plan. Or the plan doesn't work, then you have you got an alternative plan. You got a backup plan for the plan. I know some of you have lists a mile long. I know you. I've been here a while, and I know some of you. But some of you are just like, hey, whatever. Whatever comes, you know. We're just going to do whatever. It's right. You're going to just do whatever and not going to experience anything lasting in terms of change. Two things you got to do, two questions you need to keep in mind if you're going to create a plan for spiritual changes in your life. One is, what can I do that will help me change spiritually and obey God? What can I do that will help me change spiritually and obey God? Second question is, who can keep me accountable to that plan? Right? Because how many know you set goals, but you don't tell anybody about them? So if you don't follow through on them, it doesn't matter. Nobody knows about them. So who can keep me accountable to that plan? What can I do that will help me change spiritually and obey God? And who can keep me accountable to the things that I'm going to do differently? Okay? Now, I'll give you some examples. Saying I want more kindness in my life. I want more of the kindness of God in my life. How many would like that? That's a good resolution, but that's all it is. A plan asks, how are some ways I can show kindness to others? And to whom will I show kindness? And how many acts of kindness will I show every week? That's a plan. That's a plan. Just saying, I want more of the kindness of God in my life. Well, how are you going to get there? How are you going to know? What are you going to do? Secondly, here's the proverbial goal. I want to read my Bible more in 2017. I want to read the Bible through, all together through, the whole Bible in 2017. Great spiritual habit that will bring about changes in our soul, right? But to take it from an empty wish to reality, you have to create an action plan. I will read my Bible from 7:15 to 7:30 Monday through Friday. That's pretty specific. You mean I had to do that? Yes! I will use a Bible reading plan to help me read the Bible through in a year. Because some people, they don't know how to do it. They don't know where to start. They don't. Do I start in the Old Testament? Do I start in Genesis? Do I start in the Psalms? Do I start in the Gospels? Where do I start? How do I do it? Well, don't reinvent the wheel. Just find somebody that already figured it out and steal it. I will participate in a small group and read the scriptures assigned in the study. That's a way that you can read your Bible more in 2017. It's a plan, right? Here's one. Hold on. I want my marriage to be stronger in 2017. Okay? Now, if anybody says, wow, I don't want my marriage to be stronger, you got a problem. We needed to talk for one, all right? But those are empty words without a plan. That's just wishful thinking. That's just fantasy land, really. What changes will I make in my life to make it stronger? What things will I stop doing and start doing that will make that happen? What can we attend together that would make our marriage stronger? Right? A small group, a marriage retreat, maybe some short-term counseling, right? Is there a couple we could ask to mentor us that would allow us to have a stronger marriage in 2017? We've got several couples out here more than capable of mentoring you. Yeah. And so we have to create a plan, and then we have to execute the plan. Otherwise, all we have is a fantasy. And you know, you don't get a lot accomplished living in fantasy land. Right? There's not a lot happening in fantasy land. We want to live in reality and not fantasy. And that's the way you do it. You wake up spiritually. We gotta wake ourselves up, and we gotta free ourselves from those things that chain us. You free yourself. And then you gotta put some actions to your words and create a plan. And then we should probably say step four, we actually have to do the plan. You gotta follow through with the plan. Amen? Resolution to reality. It's doable. It's doable. How many have some things in mind? Some fresh new changes in your life for 2017? I do. Plans already written. Ready to put in place. Ready to start acting. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you make all things new. Thank you for all that you've allowed into our lives this past year. We thank you for the good things along with the hard things. It's the hard things that have reminded us how much we need you and how much we need to rely on your presence, filling us every day. Pray for your Spirit to lead us each step in this new year. We ask that you will guide our decisions, turn our hearts towards you. We ask for wisdom, strength, power to be constantly present within us. Maybe today you're here and you want to commit yourself to just waking up. Maybe that's where you're at. Just need to wake up. Just invite you to just stand where you're at. Maybe you'd step out into the aisle just to say to the Lord, not saying really even to anybody else, you're saying to the Lord, I'm waking up, God, to you. I want to wake up today to you. So you just stand waking up to you. Some of you have been waiting on God. Not that he can't do it, to fix something in your life. And all this time, God has been waiting on you to shake that thing off. As soon as you start saying enough is enough, he's right there with grace upon grace upon grace. Yeah? If you need to free yourself and you need to say in your own soul and even say it out loud, enough is enough. I'm going to free myself from things that destroying my soul and destroying my relationships with God and people. And some of you are the place where you're like, there's the key. Action. Plan. A plan. I need to be more specific. And some of you just may want to respond and say, God, this year I'm going to be more specific in the ways that I want to pursue you and seek you and seek your kingdom and seek your righteousness. That there's going to be some specific ways that I do that. And I want to be purposeful in my life this year. Just tell the Lord, that's my desire. Just stand and say, Lord, I want to put some action to my words this year. Years past, it's just words. This year, it's action. It's a plan. It's action. I know several of you, instead of resolutions, you just have a word that you commit to for the entire year. This is our word for the Vineyard. Action. Action. This is it. Action. Not lip service. Action. Action. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for the times we've worked so hard to be self-sufficient. Forgive us for forgetting our need of you, living independent of your Spirit. Forgive us for letting fear and worry control our minds and allowing pride and selfishness to wreak havoc over our lives. Forgive us for not following your ways, for living distant from your presence. And we confess our need for you, fresh, new again. We ask that you make all things new in our hearts, our minds, our lives for this coming year. We pray for your refreshing over us. We pray action over us. Help us to know, to be known as great givers. Help us to be known as people who are generous and kind. Help us to know, be known as people who look out for the needs of others and be not so consumed by our own interests, God. May we be lovers of truth. Shine your light in us, through us, over us. May we make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. May we take action for the kingdom of God. May we reflect on your peace and share it with a world that's void of all peace. To you be the glory, God. To you be the honor. This new year. We breathe in your presence. Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Wake up. Free yourself. Get a plan. Be blessed.